This is Morgan Beatty bringing you news of the world. Tonight in the headlines, the big story. Congressional leaders put the brakes on a runaway tax cut. Chairman Mills of Ways and Means speaks. He's 100% for genuine tax reform, 100% against a windfall gift to loopholers. Insists equality of burden is the issue, not jobs. Washington, cheap nuclear power, electric power, assured by 1970. London, Washington, Moscow. Moscow in the West, explore a Cold War thaw. Washington, India, and Cuba, status quo. London, the Duke, plans a big giveaway. Those are the headlines. In a moment, the news.
You were asking me about Pete Jr.'s birthday party, Mary?
Oh, yes. How were the 11-year-olds?
Ghastly. The little boys didn't want to dance with the little girls. And I ran out of hamburgers.
Ran out of hamburgers?
Yes. Why didn't you warn me?
Warn you? Now, Millicent, I've told you Accent makes hamburgers taste better than ever before. Richer and juicier in good lean beef flavor.
No, not about Accent. That's always fine. Why didn't you warn me that the boys would take seconds before the girls even had firsts?
Next time you make hamburgers with Accent, make plenty. Nothing like Accent to bring out all the good natural flavor of hamburgers. Meatloaf, too. Mix in 1 teaspoon per pound of ground beef when you add the other seasonings. Accent is pure monosodium glutamate. Get the red package of Accent for a wonderful world of flavor through seasoning.
Now here is Morgan Beatty with the news.
And the news tonight is a careful, calm, calculating bucket of ice-cold water thrown against a tax cut bonanza in 1963. News of the World's survey of a majority of the House Ways and Means Committee tonight shows that as of now, the group that controls tax measures in the Congress is close to 100% for tax reform, that is, a broader base at lower rates. It is almost 100% against any quick tax cut of the kind administration men are talking up on the Washington scene. A News of the World estimate on past records of the Senate Finance Committee coincides exactly with the House Group survey. Congressman Wilbur Mills of Arkansas, chairman of Ways and Means, declined tonight to speak for a majority of his committee. But in answer to a direct question, he gave News of the World this answer. I am 100% for genuine tax reform in relation to a tax cut. That is, I would lower tax rates, possibly rearrange exemptions to lighten and equalize the burdens of lower-income Americans, but only with the understanding that this will be genuine reform. And from our experience on the committee, he said, the likelihood is the Ways and Means Committee would want to enact tax reform legislation carefully in 1963 that would become effective as a tax cut in 1964. Congressman Mills spoke with the expectation that the present economic climate of rising incomes for all Americans continues to improve, and that's what he expects between now and the gathering of Congress in January. This puts the congressman in direct opposition to one wing of President Kennedy's advisors, a group that would enact a tax cut now for January 1963 and incur risks of a high deficit on the order of $10 billion next year. That group would let the balancing of the budget come later like a tail on a kite if it should. This group is headed by W. Willard Wirtz, Secretary of Labor. He insists that creation of jobs, bringing the unemployment rate down below 4% of the nation's workforce, is far more important than a balanced budget. To his mind, jobs come first. Secretary of the Treasury Douglas Dillon, however, has not endorsed such an approach to next year's financial problems. He, like Chairman Mills of the Ways and Means Committee, has stressed tax reform ahead of tax cutting, or at least along with it. The Secretary of the Treasury and the Chairman of the Committee look at cold, hard facts. That even though the income tax rate against American citizens begins at 20% of their income, loopholes and exemptions make a mockery of that rate. Actually, Census Bureau figures show that all Americans, individuals, not businesses, will earn a total high mark of $445 billion this year, and the federal government will collect less than 10% of that in income taxes, or just over $44 billion. Loopholes, especially for middle-income taxpayers, account for the big leakage in the 20% brackets. That's why Mr. Mills and Mr. Dillon stress reform. Another reason is the fact that the upper 5% of the income taxpayers get 20% of all of our income. The lowest one-fifth of American families get only 5% of the total income. Curiously, so-called giveaway or liberal legislation, if I may be careless with the word for simplicity, has not cut incomes, high incomes. It has not raised low incomes in the last 20 years. They are status quo. Hence Mr. Mills' words tonight to News of the World. I, for one, he said, will not insist that tax reform balance out, that we take in a dollar for every dollar we lose on tax reform or a tax cut. What I am saying, speaking only for myself, he went on, is that reform is more important than a tax cut now in relation to fair distribution of the tax burden. And by reform, Mr. Mills means changes that will produce a more nearly equal distribution of the burden in relations to income. In short, he wants taxes that do not make some low-income American citizens less equal than others, and that's what most loopholes do now to voiceless citizens by the millions who have no lobbies in Washington. I'll be back with Cheap Atomic Power coming by 1970 and more. News of the World.
Menin Spray Deodorant. Best deodorant a man can use. Menin Spray gets through to the skin, and Menin Spray is concentrated, delivers three times the antiperspirant power of any other leading men's deodorant. Right, three times the antiperspirant power. Menin Spray in the handy slim squeeze bottle.
New Menin Push-Button Deodorant. The aerosol rated in tests to give more satisfactory protection by the toughest judges in the world. Men like you. Try Menin Push-Button.
Well, I don't know. It looks just like tomato juice.
But it's eight juices good for you and me, V8.
Well, I still say it looks like tomato juice.
But it's eight ways tasty. Discover it and see. Eight lively juices, vegetable juices. Yours for good health in V8.
But I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Well, just take one taste of V8.
Caramba, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Olé.
V8 cocktail vegetable juice.
Again, Morgan Beatty.
Now news by direct report. Cheap, peaceful atomic energy coming and soon. Here is Jack Perkins in Washington.
The Atomic Energy Commission thinks that in the next decade, the 70s, many of our electric light bulbs throughout the country may be lit by atomic power. And if they are, this nation will begin saving billions of dollars. The AEC sent a report today to the president. It recommended that government and industry in the next 12 years build at least 20 new atomic power plants. It should work on breeder reactors, reactors that not only make electricity, but while they're doing it, also make more atomic fuel. The government has already spent $1.25 billion on atomic power. Under the AEC's recommendations, it would have to spend $500 million more in the next 10 years. But, and here is the answer to skeptics who demand to know what are we going to get out of this money, the AEC predicts that by the 70s, we would be making atomic power competitively with conventional power, and by the turn of the century, half the power generated in this country would be atomic and cheap, so that by then, for the few billion invested, we would have saved $30 billion in power costs. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Washington.
Next, a thaw in the Cold War? Maybe. Here is Robert McCormick.
What comes next in the relations between the Free West and Soviet Russia? Well, there seem to be signs that the Soviet is willing to make some sort of accommodation with the West, or, as the president put it, we are at a turning point in history, and Secretary of State Rusk has said that we're on the verge of unpredictable events. Well, if the Russians are ready to come to terms with the West in any sense, it may be because the Chinese communists have forced their collective hand. The Russians may feel they must cooperate with the West in order to stop the Chinese. This theory was reinforced today by British Foreign Secretary Lord Hume when he said his country should change what he called the negative, sterile doctrine of coexistence into one of active cooperation with the countries of Europe which are at present communist, and among these, said Lord Hume, I include Russia. Well, what it all boils down to is the fact that the Western diplomats here feel there may be a good chance for an agreement ending the continuing Berlin crisis and even an agreement on disarmament, which would include a nuclear test ban, which would in turn prevent the Chinese Reds from developing their own nuclear weapons. Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
Next, the crisis points, the Caribbean, the Himalayan line. Here is Ellie Abel, our State Department correspondent.
Along the far-flung India-China battle line, the guns were silent this Thanksgiving Day. India has not yet accepted or rejected the Chinese proposal to cease firing, withdraw, and negotiate. But so long as the Chinese invaders aren't shooting, the retreat-weary Indians seem to welcome a breather. New Delhi is not letting up its efforts to put the country on a war footing. The first transport planes from the U.S. and Canada have arrived, along with high-level supply missions from Washington and London. Prime Minister Nehru is resigned to a long war ahead. He told a group of teenage boys today, "It may be so long that some of you will grow up to fight it." The Cuban crisis is subsiding, but there are a great many loose ends still to be tied up, chiefly how to make certain that all the Soviet weapons have been pulled out and that new ones won't be put in. Anastas Mikoyan, Russia's first deputy premier, has been in Havana 3 weeks now. He conferred today with Fidel Castro and Cuban President Dorticos. No word on what, if anything, Mikoyan achieved. Castro, all reports agree, is still saying no to any form of inspection that the U.S. would consider adequate. Ellie Abel, NBC News, State Department correspondent.
And now, around the world briefly, here is William J. Boyle.
Buenos Aires, the Argentine Interior Ministry announced tonight a plan to overthrow the government had been thwarted by the arrest of four high-ranking army officers. The announcement followed a wave of bombings and shootings yesterday in Buenos Aires. London, the British Labour Party, tonight claimed a victory in by-elections over Prime Minister Macmillan's Conservative Party by winning three parliamentary seats formerly held by the Conservatives. New York, News of the World, tonight salutes NBC-affiliated station WJAX in Jacksonville, Florida, celebrating its 37th anniversary of broadcasting. Amsterdam, 82-year-old Dutch Queen Mother Wilhelmina, tonight is reported ill but resting quietly. This is William J. Boyle, NBC News.
And then there's the story of the royal badge on the auction block when I return in a moment.
Don't pay the price of a Buick unless you actually get a Buick.
That's a good thing to remember if you're in the market for a new car, because many people have realized too late that they could have gotten a Buick for just a little more than they paid for one of the low price names. And we're talking about the full-sized Buick LeSabre with advanced thrust engineering, the famous Wildcat engine, Buick comfort and safety, and of course, distinctive Buick styling. These exclusive Buick features, along with Buick's reputation for quality, assure you of longer car life, lower maintenance costs, and high resale value. Yes, the new 63 LeSabre is bold, beautiful, Buick, yet it's priced so close to the low price names. That's why we suggest...
Don't pay the price of a Buick unless you actually get a Buick.
See it today, the bold, beautiful Buick LeSabre at your quality Buick dealers.
Now with the closing story, here is Morgan Beatty.
The Royal Order of the Garter. Up for grabs, here's Joseph C. Harsh in London.
If you would like to own the regalia of the Order of the Garter in real diamonds made 70 years ago for the 11th Duke of Bedford, show up at Sotheby's on Bond Street here in London on the 6th of December. The present Duke of Bedford, the 13th, is not sentimental about his grandfather's possessions, except for the house and grounds. He'll do anything, almost, to keep the house. It's quite a house, rebuilt in Queen Elizabeth's time from a ruined abbey given the Duke of that period by King Henry VIII. There's a deer park and a herd of American buffalo. The present Duke wants to keep the house and grounds so much that he lets tourists roam about them at a price. But his father, who died 9 years ago, left the place loaded with debts. To keep the place, the debts must be paid. The Order of the Garter is something fairly special. There are only 25 members besides the Queen. The 25 include the Duke of Edinburgh, Sir Winston Churchill, and the Queen of the Netherlands. The Duke of Bedford enjoys being a Knight of the Garter, but to him, first things come first. The house is first. So his regalia, the Order of the Garter, is up for auction at Sotheby's on December 6th. Joseph C. Harsh, NBC News, London.
And that's the news of the world. Until tomorrow, Morgan Beatty, NBC News, New York.
Whenever significant news happens, you'll hear it quickly and comprehensively on NBC Radio.